So every week, the fathers of the house tell these amazing jokes. So I was like, what am I going to do today? What is my joke? And yeah, I don't have any jokes, but I thought I would tell you this. Here's a fun story. So I was in D.C. when I bought this monarch dress, this beautiful dress, and I recall the last time I wore this dress, which is why it was so many years ago. It was also cicada season. And I wore it to church one day to preach and got out of the car, and all of this, they all like came straight. I was screaming, and the church had like the windows, but no, so they could see their pastor coming going, just because all of the bugs were all over me. I think they were trying to mate with me or something. I don't know what was happening, but it was intense. So, yeah, there's my story. Hope you laughed. I wanted to talk about the Supernatural School of Ministry that we are launching in late September. I'm super excited about it. The School of Ministry, so I went to Bethel School of Ministry. I would tell you when, but that would age me, and Black people just don't do that. So I went there before, and I actually went for 2 years. It's a three-year thing, but I was special, and I started interning and stuff, so it was wonderful. But I want to kind of give you the testimony of how I got there. How did I get to the supernatural? Because I want to tell you right now, I wanted to be a criminal profiler and work for the FBI. So it was nowhere in my dreams that I was going to do anything in ministry at all, ever. So I think at the time, I had already been through what I would have thought was my dark night of the soul. My, like, gosh, this is the worst season of my life, right? And I had come out of that season, and from that season, I had actually started preaching. I was traveling. I wasn't like based in a church. I was traveling all over the country for 3 years, just preaching everywhere, preaching about the prophetic specifically. And he hates it when I go over here because it's dark and I'm dark. So, oh goodness. So as I was doing this, I remember actually it was Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, and I heard the Lord tell me it was time for me to rest. I just heard it, and I was like, okay, I'll take a nap, see you in a couple hours. Like, it was so persistent. It's time to rest, it's time to rest, it's time to rest, so that I finally asked the Lord, what does that mean? Okay, what are you saying? And he said, I want you to go to California to Bethel. And I thought, okay, first of all, see, I wasn't from Florida. At the time I was in Florida, there was a revival going on in Florida, and I had stayed. So to me, a New York City girl, God had already moved me to the land of hurricanes, and now he wants to move me to the land of earthquakes. And I just felt it wasn't fair, and I hadn't done anything. So I didn't understand. Now, Bill Johnson, I had met him once at this revival, but still to me, even growing up in the church, I wasn't, like, this was a lot to be at church all the time with people, you know? So I just wasn't sure, but I heard it so clearly. And I heard him say the School of Ministry. Again, even though I had started ministering, I just thought I had a moment, and this is going to be really good, and I'll get it all out. Like, I got touched by God, like, overwhelmingly touched, and I've just got to get it out. But I'm not going to do this for the rest of my life. Like, ministry is a lot. What I learned is when I went to Bethel, so I applied on Valentine's Day because I told the Lord, I love you. I don't know if I'm wrong. I'm probably not going to get in this school, so I'll apply. And I applied, and I got in. Yeah, I didn't understand why I got it. Like, I didn't understand why I got in. So I went to the school. When I got to this school, again, I have known Jesus. I grew up watching my mom on the floor speaking in tongues, wailing, like, every night. So I thought, I know Jesus. I've got this. I've got it. I know God. And I got to Bethel, and the very first session, first year, I think there was 2,000 students or something in the auditorium. It was in the Civic Center in Reading. We were the first to be in the Civic Center. It was packed. And there's a lot of expression of Jesus. Some people are wailing. Some people are running around dancing. Some people are just, it's just, there's a lot happening. And I'm just thinking, why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? And then all of a sudden, Bill comes and he just comes on stage. And funny enough, I love your presence. He'll sometimes break into that song. He'll just stop everything. It's quiet like this. And he'll just, I love you. And I remember, like, the presence of God, it was like a wall. And it filled the room, and it dropped. The year that I was there was the year of the glory cloud. So I remember being in first year, and all of a sudden we're in small group, and everybody's getting a text message, come to the sanctuary, come to the sanctuary. And in the sanctuary, oh, this is what I love about the Lord. When you have encounters and when you have moments, all you have to do is speak about them, and then you're already back there. So, like, the weight of it, and I could, it was just this cloud in the, like, I was an administrator, so I was actually the administrator of the facilities. And so I knew there was no pipes coming down. Like, it was like a glitter cloud of, and people would just kind of try to walk through it. And as you got close to it, you could feel the weight of the glory, and you would kind of just fall. And this year of being at Bethel, it was filled with moments like that. It was filled with the unexplained. It was filled with, I'd like to say it was one of the hardest years of my entire life, and I would never recommend first year, ever. But I would totally recommend second year. Because first year changed my life in a way I didn't know it needed to be changed. You know, it's one of those things where you don't necessarily want to willingly give yourself to that process, but once you have, you're like, I want to explain that the Supernatural School of Ministry is not about becoming a minister. It is not a school of theology. It's a school of relationship. A lot of us call ourselves Christians, and we're content to have these Sunday experiences and think that that's supposed to take us throughout our whole week. That's supposed, right? Oh, and if we're lucky, our church has a Wednesday night, and that helps us get a little midweek fill up. I think that every Christian should have some sort of season. It's kind of like, you know, the Muslims and the Jew, how they go on these. I think that everybody who proclaims that Christ is the head of their life really needs to almost dedicate a season of just complete immersion in him. Complete immersion in all of the things, getting your theology right, getting your relationship right, getting your community right, getting understanding who you are, your gifts. The Supernatural School of Ministry really is it's like a love story. It's like, I thought I knew Jesus, and then I went to first year and I met him. That's where I fell in love with the Lord. Not because my mom did a bad job, not because I didn't go to church every Sunday, but because I said, you know what, God? I got to the point in my life where the moment that we had today in church, y'all, there was a moment in here, right? Y'all felt it, right? There was like I needed that all the time. The supernatural has to become natural. The presence of God, that it has to come to the point where my shadow is so filled with the presence of God that as I move and pass by people, they say something's different about her. Something's different. What is that she's carrying? Because I'm supposed to live heaven on earth. We are waiting to get to heaven. versus learning how to bring it here. This has got to be who we are. I'm not convinced that the American version of Christianity is enough. It's just not enough. And is the school of ministry really, I mean, you know, it works for some people, it doesn't for others, but it's an opportunity to give it all to God. It's an opportunity to say, you know what? Listen, I can't live any other way. I cannot do life. You know, the scripture says, you know, in you I live and move and have my being. There's no way I would have just picked out defiance. God has a plan for defiance. I see something stirring. I'm hearing it in the pastors in the community. I'm seeing it in the people in the community. And not that he doesn't want to do it at other churches. Whatever he's doing at other churches, he's doing at other churches. But he's doing something here. So we also know that God says he's created you for such a time as this. So there's something that is stirring and happening at Be The One, right? There's something that's happening in this house that God's like, I knew you would be here at this time, and this could be beyond you. This is about who's coming after you. Most of you guys have been here for, you went to high school, you went to, you know, this is where you're from. And if it's not, it's where you came back to. And this is home. I would give anything for revival to take off in Manhattan. And it's had its moments. And when Hillsong came, that really shook the whole city. And now there's a Bethel that has been planted out there. There's things that are happening. Like, God is shaking the church of defiance. He's shaking it. He's shaking it. If you want to be a part of that, I'm not saying you have to be at school, but this is your church. You're here on a Sunday morning. Then you have to be a part of the things that change the community. Does that make sense? We can't do Sundays anymore. This is why mega churches are kind of falling apart, and house churches and satellite churches are kind of starting to become a thing, because people need to do this for life. They need it all day, every day. Life is intense. There is a lot of things going on. A lot of us have been through so much. The school of ministry really is kind of a respite. It kind of teaches you how to live in the heavenly places, how to stay there, how to take over the seven mountains, which means no matter what you are, we're all called to be ministers. He says, you are a minister of reconciliation. Do you know what you're reconciling? You're reconciling man to God. So you are a minister, and your job, whether it's at your job or at a pulpit or on the street or doing tattoos or whatever it is you're doing, that is, come on now. I need us to start to get excited and understand that our purpose is greater than this 9-to-5. That is why we're so bored. We're bored with our life because it doesn't look like the way God wanted it to be. Okay, I don't know. Maybe the reason he brought me is so some little black girl from New York could shake y'all up. I'm not afraid of too much. I need more. I need more. I need to come to church. You know why I stayed at this church the first week I came in? I don't think there was one person who didn't come up to me and say hello and hug me. I was like, what in the world? I've easily been in 1,000 churches. Easy. I don't think I've ever been in a church where every single person in that church came up and hugged me and introduced themselves to me and looked so happy to see me. They will know us by our love. So if that is the foundation that is in this house, if the foundation in this house is love, then that's how the outside will know us. And that's what will draw them back. There is a reason there is 17,000 square foot. There's a reason this house is big. There's a reason some of you have come back when you were gone for a while. come on. I'm trying to stir you up today. I'm trying to get you to go, okay. And here's the other thing about the school of ministry. It's a 9-month school. I'm going to tell you that right now. It is absolutely, it's a big commitment. But here's the thing. If after I'm done talking and I ask who's interested and the whole time something's burning in you, your first response needs to be yes. Yes, I'm going to do it. Yes, I'm going to figure it out. Yes, I want to know more. Because then God will clear the path. If you try to figure everything out in your head, you're not letting God take care of everything for you. You're taking care of everything for God. So then you can, right? And this may be what he wants to do to change. So I want to explain some stuff about the, it's called resting place. So for me, I told you God has called me to rest. And it's in Psalms 132. It talks about David said, like, I'm not gonna do anything else. I will not rest until I've created a resting place for you. I actually believe it's a mandate all my life that, like, gosh, I just want him to stay with me. Bill talks about the dove, right? You know, like, I just want him to stay with me. And guess what? It doesn't mean that I'm not high and low and all over the place. I've got stuff happening in my life. If I told you, it would blow you. It's just crazy. But that's exactly how I know I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Right? So, listen. Am I concerned about, you know, the election? And am I concerned about what my kids are learning in school and, you know, all of these different things? Oh, this generation is getting cancer more than any other generation and all of these things. And I'm like, even this morning I was thinking there was a car accident I'd seen and I'm like, God, I mean, people are getting shot going to the grocery store. God, how do I, like, you said you'd protect me. Like, you said you'd keep me. How, it's like, you gotta move when I move. We need to have these moments where we understand to live, how to live like Jesus when he said, I only do what I see you doing, right? I only say what I hear you saying. How many of you, when you wake up in the morning, the first, okay, God, what are you doing today? God, what do you want me to wear? Because I need to do it. No, you have a habit. You have a, and you just automatically do your thing instead of stopping and seeing what his thing is. To me, that's kind of part of the I can't do anything without you. I wanna get specifically into the school a little bit. And some of the things about it. So the school starts September 23rd. It is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Every week, you know, there'll be Christmas and this, that, and the other. But it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of every week. 10 to 2 for the most part. 10 to 2 on Monday, 10 to 2 on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, it's 10 to 12, and then Wednesday nights, we're starting an encounter service. One of the reasons is because when you start to kind of immerse yourselves in all things God, really having a service where you can, you know, I know that sometimes people shake, and sometimes people scream, and sometimes people do all the things, and I've kind of learned, or I think it's kind of like, I can't judge what's happening when people are experiencing God. I just can't. I don't know what they're going to do. I know the first time I had a big encounter, I passed out and shook for 8 hours. 8 hours. And I could hear people talking about me. Like, I could hear them. What is she? Is she all right? Should we take her to the hospital? And, you know, I'm like, just leave me alone. Just leave me. Like, I couldn't. His hand was on me. And guess what? No matter how silly I looked, I didn't want it to leave. I didn't care if I shook going to the grocery store. Didn't matter. The way that this season changed my life is I can't go back. Nothing matters to me. Nothing else matters to me but doing the will of the Lord for my life. Nothing else matters. And it's played out beautifully because I know at the end of my days, I did what he told me to do, right? So the school, let me see. All right, I have a little, you know, what will I learn? So there's different subjects in the school, plus it is actually registered under Bethel itself. So while we're using the Bethel curriculum, we're also using some other curriculums from different houses that have started schools and have great things. But the first thing is identity. Everything we do comes from who we are. Everything we do comes from who we are. I am a daddy's girl. That is how I've made it through my life. I totally belong to Jesus. I trust him for everything. The financial miracles that I have in my life, they would astound you. They would, and I haven't had a job for, I haven't had a job for 3 years. I planted my own church several years ago, and that was my job, but and I still look good, you know, because the Lord is taking care of me. But he takes care of me. Every summer, my daughters and I go to Disney on a two-week vacation. Every summer, the week before, every summer and Christmas. And the week before we go, somebody pays for it. I don't know who. Somebody different, somebody the same. All I do is I go to the Disney website and I book it. And every year, somebody pays for it. Every month, income just comes from, as long as I'm doing what I'm called to do, right? Income just comes to me every single, the Lord is, I'm just letting you know that he'll take care of you. I'm so much more than the flowers. I'm so much more than the sparrow. So he clothes me and he takes care of me. One of my favorite things about the School of Ministry is actually learning how to read the Bible. I think we have missed so much in our reading and understanding of the Bible that it's mind-blowing. Oh my good, I mean, ooh, the Bible is so fascinating and it proves itself in ways that is undeniable. So we learn how to read the Bible, how to understand the Bible, how to apply the Bible in real life, how to bring it to life. When you open the Bible, it's almost like Jumanji, right? Like it should come alive. Things start coming out at you because it changes your life. If you can see it, it says he's living and active. But we read our psalm, you know, in the morning. Oh, what's today? It's the 11th. Great. You know, Proverbs 11. Okay, I did my thing for the day. Close it, and that's it. Instead of letting that thing completely immerse and change your day. The gifts. You know, this is not a dead church. The church is not a dead church. We should be prophesying. We should be speaking in tongues. We should have people getting healed every single day. And not because they came to the line and prayed for them, but because they walked in the door. People are walking in because we've created a resting place where the presence of God is. Remember where the Ark of the Covenant was? Everything was blessed. Everything changed for wherever that presence was. That's what we've got to do. We've got to, and listen, my very first day in here, I had asked Pastor if I could pray. And I came in and I started praying. And I remember I was walking counterclockwise. And I heard the Lord say, I need you to, or I was walking clockwise. He said, I need you to walk backwards. I need you to stir up the wells. Stir up what's already here. There's something already here. Go back and stir that up. What I think is the history of this church, the holy ground that we're standing on, I actually don't even think it got to where it was supposed to go. Let me prophesy. We're about to see the floor break open and the Spirit of God come. I'm telling you, he's like, I've got something to do. I've got something to do. And he's not waiting anymore. So that's the other thing. You know, he's a patient God. And then he's like, all right, I done it. So let's go. Let's go. And he's going to start to take whoever's ready, whoever's willing. Are you ready? Are you willing? Are you willing to put some things aside? Are you willing to say, you know what? I'll do whatever it takes. I'll give you a season of my life. I'll give you a moment of my life so that I can understand the call on my life and actually bring heaven to earth. Not just for me, but for my city. And if we can change Defiance, then we can change Ohio. If we can change Ohio, then we can change, you know, come on now. Let me preach. I don't care where the Lord has planted me, but wherever it is, I'm going to start a fire. I have to. I've got to see. I want people to come up to me in the grocery store. I want people to be changed by what's happening. This is what school does to you. Outreach and evangelism. I just want to be honest with you. That is one of my least favorite things to do. I'm like, I'm called to the church. I don't like to go up to strangers. I'm like, do you know Jesus? Okay. I know that you're supposed to, you know, evangelize and do those things. I'm saying it's good. I'm just saying it's the hardest for me, which sounds really weird. I'm really comfortable in church because I feel like I have permission to be weird, you know, but when I go up to a stranger and like, so the way that I've learned to cope with that is through prophecy. Man, I will prophesy to somebody just ran. Oh my goodness, can I just, you know, I was walking past you and I saw this. And I don't know, that gets them. Prophecy gets them. And so learning to hear from God, learning to trust your voice and to trust the voice of the Lord to me is, it's crucial to your walk with the Lord. It's crucial. Questions. So we're going to have a, like an, this is a forced interest meeting. There you go. Forced interest meeting. We will have an interest meeting. I know you guys do sign up sheets, so I'm sorry because I brought sign up iPads for people who want more information in about the school, but, some of the things, like, do you have to be a member of the church? No. You do not have to be a member. We want anybody. I'm actually going next week to an alumni meeting in Chicago to kind of draw people from everywhere. My heart is to create a resource center for the things of the apostolic, right? So part of being in the school, you become so filled with the presence that by January we have a healing rooms. Come in and get prayed for. Why? Because I'm so filled with the Holy Spirit and I'm so filled with the understanding that when I lay my hands on you, you will get healed, that we actually need a place. Do you see what I mean? What can happen by opening this, even by some of us in here? Here's the big thing. This is actually a call to action. I didn't know that I would put it this way, but I feel a responsibility for the people in the church to be the first people who do it. Because it will grow. That's on my life. I just want to let you all know. I have favor where I am. People come because the presence of the Lord on my life. So as this grows, some of you are going to step into the callings you've been waiting for. Usually, when I come into a church, it's full of a church of leaders. It's full of a church of sleepers who are pastors and evangelists and prophets and teachers who've been sat down for a while, who were pushed out of another church, who are hurting, it's full of those kinds of people, and they are like, I don't want to try again. And God's like, no, get up. Get up. It's time. This is my dry bones. Get up. Right? So something in you, let's be honest. Is anybody stirring? Anybody like, oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. Anybody stirring? Anybody stirring? A couple over there. A couple honest people on this side. Uh-huh. No? Okay. I, I went to a pastor's meeting, not with another one. I was called an outsider. They're like, you know, you're an outsider. It's gonna take a while. And you know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being an outsider. The whole point is, most of y'all are not. Right? So I don't know that my job is to change the region. I know that my job is to change you to change the region. Because I'm an outsider. Now, don't come to New York, okay? I got it there. But here, I'm here to remind you who you are. I'm here to remind you whose you are and the authority that you have in that. You realize, like we sang earlier, Jesus came up out of the grave, right? Like, we're awfully still for having been fully restored into the power of his resurrection. Jesus said, what I have done, we look at the Bible as this really great history book. Oh, this is super cool. That, you know, and hopefully one of these things will happen in my lifetime. I've seen 33 people raised from the dead. I've seen blind eyes restored, ears healed, like marriages restored. I've seen pastors restored after falls. That's normal. As a matter of fact, I'm still missing some stuff. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs. Just in church, just sitting here, just crying out for the Lord. We as a community, we are a body. So this house and the people that are in here right now, we have to actually combine our faith together. We have to cry out as one, like the people did in the room of 120, right? They for the Spirit to fall down, right? This is enough right here. This is more than enough. Half y'all could leave, but we could still do it. I need to do this for my kids. I want them to grow up going to church, going out of church, changing the world, stopping and praying for people. It's normal. The other day, my kids and I are trying to figure out what school they're going to go to next year. And we get in the car, and Kaya, my oldest, says, Mom, I had a moment with Jesus. I said, oh, you did you? She said, yeah. So she said, he gave me two cups. One cup was blue and one cup was red. And one cup stood for one school and one stood for the other. And he goes, and he filled half my, one cup halfway and the other cup he filled up all the way. So I think I'm supposed to go to this school. Okay. So then Wednesday night we come for prayer. There was a song on and in the word it said, Jesus will fill your cup. So she comes running out, Mom, Jesus filled my cup. Jesus filled my cup. I just feel like I can't even make decisions because Jesus is talking to my children. And I've got to do, that's what I want though. She'll look, oh, Mom, oh, I saw Abraham. I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, yeah, the gates. I'm like, what gate? In heaven, don't you see it? It's right there. I was like, no, I don't see it. No, there's a gate right there. Okay, really, what does it look like? Oh, I'll draw it for you. She's like, she tried to draw it. She's like, I can't really get the color. It's like pearly and like you can see yourself in it. I'm like, this girl's having encounters with Jesus. That's what we need. That's what's going to keep our children. That's what's going to keep our future. That's why what's happening in the White House matters, but it doesn't, because at the end of the day, it's God who appoints all authority. Our voice matters, but it don't matter. God has a plan, right? He has a plan. What is his plan for this house? So in September, when the school launches, I want to let you know, it is pretty intense. It's like a 9-month sozo. It is like, it just, I know, maybe I should, it's the most joyous time of your life. And you will love every minute of it. You will become so sensitive to the presence of God, though. You'll become so sensitive to his voice. Here's the other thing. I spoke with the Lord the other day, And I felt like he told me to make it Zoomable in this way. Wednesday night encounter services you have to come to. There are certain things where you have to be here, but some of the classes you'll be able to Zoom, or you know what I mean? So if it's 10 to 2 and you have to Zoom in every Monday at 2 because you work that day, we can do that. So I'm going to make the classes virtual in that way, but the whole thing is you can't spend every day of the school on Zoom. You will not get it. The presence of God, I know that a lot happens like this, but I think we're missing this. We've been doing this for so long, right? I think we need this. We need connection. We need family. That's what we need, and we need it. We need it. Listen, let me be honest. Can I be honest with y'all? I definitely thought coming out here, especially when I got here and counted all 4 black people, that, and here's the thing, I don't actually have a lot of black friends. It's not that I'm so, but it always makes me uncomfortable that I'm not going to fit in culturally, right? I haven't. My kids have more meemaws and mommies and, you know, whatever than any. They have more people in their life. I have people that have just surrounded and I'm like, there is something about the Midwest. I mean, they just love people so well. I mean, I do get asked to bring the mac and cheese everywhere, which I think is a little sus, but it's all right. Y'all know that we make it better. So, another thing about the school of ministry is it is offensive. It's going to test your righteousness. You might say, well, I don't believe that. I mean, you don't have to. Might be wrong. Right? Not everything that someone holding one of these says is right. This is what we're doing it for. This is what we're doing it from. Some of the people teaching in the school are from the house, and that's so important. It's so important. Listen, the vision that I had of this house was, I was praying on the outside, I was walking, I saw the whole church on fire, and people were running into it. I want I don't know. I'm hoping that the Lord has already been talking to a lot of you about the element of sacrifice in this season. And what is going to seem like a sacrifice in the beginning. Oh, I've got to switch my schedule. Oh, I've got to give some time. Oh, I've got to, what is going to seem like that in the beginning is going to, that moment you can live like that. That moment in church, you can live like that. You can go home and you can't get out of it. I have worship in my house 24 hours a day. My kids sing it. We live like this. People ask me when they do hear some of my story and what I'm going through, well, how are you so happy? I would have never known that was going on with you, because the presence of God overrides any situation. Any situation, and I know he's faithful, but I had to learn that. I had to get into a place where I could see him, and I could feel him, and I could know that he was present, not just in here, but because the weight of who he was next to me. There is an application for the school. Will all be accepted? Most likely, unless you aren't. Most likely, unless it's just kind of a I don't know how would I put it. Especially, you just want to know that people, you got to commit to it. I don't want you here for a month and then out. You know, we want you in. So you count the cost. That's what it is. You know what you're getting into before you get into it. This is not TikTok. It's not a fad. It's not going to leave in 30 seconds. You know, so it's kind of like, and this is also how you build community more. So the people that we're in here, we're not just going to Tuesday nights, which if you're under 45, Tuesday night. Okay. It's not just doing that. It's choosing to know people by the Spirit. A lot of us know what's going on, but it's choosing to know people by the Spirit and to do life with them. I want to tell you how much the Lord loves you. He loves you enough. He loves you more. He loves you more than you could ever know. If you've been just crying out for more, if your spirit is stirring right now as I'm talking about this, you owe yourself a yes. This is how I test the Lord. Okay, yes, 100%, but you've got to make it work. I give it to you. Yes, 100%, but you figure it out.
So in 1996, no, 2006, there we go, getting the right century. In 2006, we had a team from Reading come here and teach a Sozo ministry. Some of you have experienced that, some of you haven't, and you would be benefited by doing so. And when we, and I've had multiple Sozos, it's a good thing. When we considered whether we were going to start Sozo, I considered starting our own kind of version of it, just because the word Sozo was just, you know, like people are, what is it now? What are we doing? And so I was going to call it Race. R-A-C-E, only because, in my mind, radically accelerated Christian experience is what it stood for. Because when you go into a Sozo and you spend, you know, an hour and a half to 3 hours, whatever that time takes, God steps on the gas pedal, in a sense, and you have an acceleration of your Christian experience. And a lot of times you get breakthroughs and things happen. I remember one gentleman who had a Sozo, and he was actually having more than a Sozo, in fact, but without going into it, he walked out and he goes, I nothing happened. I says, okay, thanks for, you know, doing it. And then 6 weeks later, he was like, oh my gosh, what happened in that session has changed everything. Some of you remember a man named Dick Erb, and he had had his son die in his arms. Being thrown from a horse, I believe, is what happened. And he had not been able to get past that. And he was an older gentleman by this time. And nothing happened in the Sozo session except everything happened in just a couple hours. In fact, it wasn't even a couple hours. And accelerated him through some stuff that he had been battling for years. And then she says, well, you know, if you could do this, it would be like an acceleration. It would be like a long Sozo. Well, so here's the thing. Some of you have come a long way in your lives. I know some of your stories. You've come a long way in your lives. But there's a ways to go, too, isn't there? And if this would be an opportunity for you, I would encourage you to take it, because this isn't about getting a bunch of head knowledge and then, you know, we'll give you a certificate and then you can go out with a license and do something. You know, that's not what this is all about. This is about accelerating your life into a better place, a deeper place with what God wants you to do. And if I could have accelerated this kind of when I was, you know, 14, 15 years old and got wild as a Jesus freak, and I've gone through a lot of things, and it hasn't all been accelerated. I'll just put it that way. So sometimes, you know, you go deep into a lot of things, but it takes you a while to get there. This could accelerate for a lot of people. And if we do our best to help make this happen, even if we don't get to be dead in the middle of it, we will receive, you know, the overflow. That's what's going to happen to this church as a result of it. So just wanted you to be aware of that. I want you to consider what God would say to you about what he wants you to do with this, because it's an opportunity. And maybe you're not the one, but maybe you know someone who's the one, and they need to accelerate. They need to accelerate in what God wants them to do. Because I've heard Bill say this so many times, I want the children to stand on, I want our ceiling to be their floor. So that's still on my heart. It's been on my heart now for almost 20 years. I want us to establish something so that they can go above that. And then hopefully they will establish something so that another generation above that can go above that. Does that make sense? So if this is something you're interested in, and listen, this girl can talk. And I love it. She will get with me and we'll talk. Sometimes we'll just go for a couple hours and just cover all sorts of things. And it's not all you. Yes, absolutely not. Not mostly you.
We all know better than that.
Yeah, we all know better. But I'm just saying it's a good thing. We need to have those levels of communication with each other. And we've had some things that we've differed on and still probably do. And we're working through those things. And that's a wonderful thing. She's not afraid. And that's a wonderful thing because I'm a guy who doesn't believe in fear. So this has just been a good infomercial for you to know what possibilities are there. If you are at all interested, don't be afraid to talk to her. If you're afraid of technology, we'll get you a piece of paper. But anyway, we'll do whatever it takes. There, she'll help you. That's what it'll be. So let's all stand up. So Father, for this school, we pray. What you've got in mind is what we want you to do. And nothing less, Lord. We don't want to hold anything back from what you've got in mind. We want to see you make amazing things happen because, Lord, you have plans for this place, for this town, for this world. And so we thank you for it. Bless Crystal, Lord. Give her words that will help people and give us hearts that are able to understand what your Holy Spirit's speaking to us and ears to hear how you're going to do stuff that we maybe can't even imagine. And we thank you for all these things. Bless your people as they go forth from this place, Lord. Let your awareness, the awareness of your presence, just be on us everywhere we go so that we can see you move heaven into the earth wherever we go. And this we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.